السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته شيخنا.
Hello, Amir. How are you? I'm a bit
الحمد
late.
لله تمام.
How are you just at the class?
نعم يا شيخنا.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. In continuation of our book Al-Adab al-Mufrad by Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari, Abu Abdullah rahimahullah, we are on Babul Ayyab, the chapter about those who regularly find fault with others, those who always, when they find others or even things, it is just about pointing out the faults in them, and perhaps with the purpose of bringing down those persons or bringing down those things. Something may be there to the owner. He wants the owner to be sad, so he begins to say evil things about that thing. Perhaps it may be out of jealousy. It may be out of envy. It may be out of something. But that act itself of finding faults with things and making it become a character trait that a person is known for is what we are talking about. Al-Imam al-Bukhari titles it and says, Bab al-Ayyab, a chapter about the person who regularly finds faults with everything, finds faults with things, he finds faults with people. For those sets of people, nobody has any good thing. If you point out any good thing regarding someone, they have 10 evil things that they think they have found out about such persons. May Allah protect us. In most of the cases, even what they would point out were just things they themselves chose to only ascribe to those individuals. By the time good investigation is done, you may not even find those faults with people. May Allah protect us. The first hadith in this chapter was the hadith of Ali ibn Abi Talib, which was a mawquf hadith. If we say hadith, and it is not a statement of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, what we mean is a hadith that is what? Mawquf, a hadith that stops with the companion. So those are referred to as hadith and mawquf. But if you say an athar from Ali, then we understand it better that that has come from lower than the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. And if we say hadith without saying mawquf, or without even saying marfu'a, that it has been raised up to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, just merely saying hadith basically referred to a statement from the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. So what we read yesterday from Ali ibn Abi Talib was a hadithun mawqufun, or an athar, a hadith that is mawquf, that stops with the companion, or an athar from the companion, Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu, when he said, لا تكونوا عجلا مزايع عذرا لا تكونوا عجلا. Don't be hasty people. Don't be ajul. Allah had warned us in the Quran that وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ عَجُولًا. Ordinarily, people are hasty. So Ali ibn Abi Talib addressed the people radiyallahu anhu and says, لَا تَكُونُوا عُجُولًا, which is the plural of the عجول. لَا تَكُونُوا عُجُولًا مَزَايِعًا. Don't be hasty people. don't be mazaya, those who go about all the time exposing secrets, exposing things that are private. So Ali says, la takunu, that's why the Arabs would refer to the radio as mizyah, because from it news is spread. So mazayi are those who go about spreading information. They go about spreading things that should be kept ordinarily private. So don't be hasty in doing that. Don't be that at all. Bovran, don't be a person who spreads just everything that he hears. So this is advice from the eminent companion, radiallahu anhum, Ali ibn Abi Talib. And we know that it was in his time we had a lot of fitan amongst the Muslims. And that was why he warned them that there is trial ahead. Trial ahead. He says, فَإِنَّ مِنْ وَرَائِكُمْ بَلَاءً مُبَرِّحًا مُمْلِحًا فَإِنَّ مِنْ وَرَائِكُمْ بَلَاءً مُبَرِّحًا مُمْلِحًا. Because you have ahead of you بَلَاءً مُبَرِّحًا, serious trials, serious fitan, mumliha, the fitan that taunts the eye, that makes the countenance to become worried. No, the countenance of the person who is worried, whether out of fear or out of sadness. This countenance is that which is referred to as mumliha, by way of describing the trial. The trial is one that is very, very tough, mubarriha, very tough, very severe, and it will be mumliha. It is not a trial that will bring any kind of delight or any kind of a good countenance to the person. And he said, wa umuran mutamahilatan roduha. You're also going to find affairs, issues, things will happen. Mutamahilatan, these things will be trouble that will last for a long time. Roduha, it will be tough upon the heart. Some of the ulama say, those who go about hastily spreading things that are secrets, or who go about spreading just everything that they hear, this will be their end. They will always find themselves in trouble. They will always find themselves in trial. They will always find themselves in fitan. Why? The man was ajulan midya'an. In his affairs, he was ajul. He was hasty. He was midya. He was spreading things that he should not spread. So this will also address those who spread evil about others. They go about bringing down the people, insulting them, and so on and so forth. So that is where the ayyab, the one who regularly finds fault with others, will come in. In the next hadith, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, that comes under hadith 328. He said, rahimahullah, haddathana Bishrun ibn Muhammad, qala haddathana Abdullah, قال حدثنا إسرائيل ابن أبي إسحاق عن أبي إسحاق عن أبي يحيى عن مجاهد عن ابن عباس قال إذا أردت أن تذكر عيوب صاحبك إذا أردت أن تذكر عيوب صاحبك فاذكر عيوب نفسك إذا أردت أن تذكر عيوب صاحبك اذكر عيوب نفسك. الإمام البخاري رحمه الله he narrates this hadith, hadith 328. Like we said regarding 327, this is حديث موقوف. It is a hadith that is موقوف. It stops at a companion, but it is an أثر. So this أثر from Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma al-Qurashi, Abu al-Abbas. Al-Imam al-Bukhari has reported it from his Shaykh Bishr ibn Muhammad, that is Abu Muhammad al-Sakhtiyani. Abu Muhammad al-Sakhtiyani, that is Bishr ibn Muhammad, that is the Shaykh of Imam al-Bukhari. In this hadith, he said, Haddathana Abdullah, that's in reference to Imam Abu Abdurrahman, Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak al-Hamdali. Abdullah in this isnad refers to the great Imam, Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak. He said, Haddathana Israel ibn Abi Ishaq. Israel ibn Abi Ishaq here is ascribed to his grandfather Abu Ishaq. His name is Israel ibn Yunus, Israel ibn Yunus ibn Abi Ishaq. So the father is Yunus, the father of Israel was Yunus. His son is Israel. And the father of Yunus is Ishaq. They were all scholars of Hadith. The grandfather was Ishaq. Fortunately, Israel is reporting this Hadith from his grandfather, Abu Ishaq al-Sabi'i, the well-known scholar of Hadith from amongst the Tabi'un. He was also well-known for worship. He was an ardent worshipper, rahimahullah. His name was Amr ibn Abdullah. Many of the students who busy with the science of Hadith, they would know Abu Ishaq al-Sabi'i, rahimahullah. His name is Amr ibn Abdullah. His kunya is Abu Ishaq, and his nisbah is al-Sabi'i. He had a son whose name was called what? Yunus. So Yunus had a son whose name was what? Israel. So Israel in this isnad, he was ascribed to his grandfather, Abu Ishaq al-Sabi'i. Otherwise, his name fully is Israel ibn Yunus ibn Amr ibn Abdullah. Israel ibn Yunus ibn Amr ibn Abdullah. And that is Israel ibn Yunus ibn Abi Ishaq al-Sabi'i rahimahumullah. The grandfather was the scholar. The father was the scholar. Israel was also a scholar of Hadith. Israel reported the Hadith from Abu Ishaq. And we told us that his name was what? Amr ibn Abdullah. And his kunya is what? Abu Ishaq al-Sabi'i. Abu Ishaq al-Sabi'i is reporting this Hadith from a man called Abu Yahya al-Qattat. Abu Yahya al-Qattat al-Kufi. Abu Yahya al-Qattat is mentioned to be an unknown reporter of Hadith. Abu Yahya al-Qattat has been mentioned to be an unknown reporter of Hadith. That is why this Hadith has been graded weak. There is also the issue of at-Tadlis from Abu Ishaq al-Sabi'i. Tadlis is one of the ways to determine a broken chain between a reporter and his sheikh. So Abu Ishaq al-Sabi'i reports this hadith with what the scholars of hadith refer to as al-an'ana. That is, while reporting it from his sheikh, he said, an. For him, because of tadlis, if he says from his sheikh, an, that is an indication of a weakness. Abu Ishaq al-Sabi'i, his narrations will be considered weak until he says regarding his sheikh, Haddathana, or what, or Akhbarana. I think simply these are the two things that I would like to mention about this isnad. Although in the copy on the screen, which is by the Tahqiq of Imam al-Albani, rahimahullah, as was rearranged by our Sheikh Samir ibn Amin al-Zuhairi, it only mentions the condition of Abu Yahya al-Qattat, who is mentioned to be da'if, in fact, in this isnad. But others among the scholars say that he is majhul, is an unknown reporter of hadith. That itself is sufficient to grade this hadith to be weak. But an additional reason why this narration is weak is that Abu Ishaq al-Sadiri is reporting here with what reads Al-Ana. So this narration is a weak narration in its chain of report. And Abu Yahya al-Qattat is reporting it from Mujahid ibn Jabr. Mujahid ibn Jabr is an eminent companion of Abdullah ibn Abbas. Mujahid ibn Jabr al-Makki. He reportedly learned the Quran from Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, verse by verse, twice. Mujahid ibn Jabr learned the Quran in its reading and its rulings, its asbab al-nuzul, the circumstances regarding the revelation of verses, and so on, its narrations, its stories, its amthal, and so on, from Abdullah ibn Abbas, verse by verse, twice, from the beginning to the end of the Quran, twice. Rahimahullah. That was Mujahid ibn Jabr. And he's the one reporting here from Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma Abu al-Abbas, that the Prophet sallallahu that Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma said, إِذَا أَرَدْتَ أَن تَذْكُرَ عُيُوبَ صَاحِبِكَ إِذَا أَرَدْتَ أَن تَذْكُرَ عُيُوبَ صَاحِبِكَ فَذْكُرْ عُيُوبَ نَفْسِكَ. Whenever you want to, or at the time when you desire to recall عُيُوبَ صَاحِبِكَ, you want to remember or even mention the faults of your companion. You have a friend, you have a sahib, you have a sadiq, you go about together, you are friends, you go to school together, you go to work together, you travel together. Definitely you would find his faults. In fact, it may be as small as the fact that when he sleeps, he snores. When he sleeps, he snores. That may be what you consider as the defect in him. Or that when he sleeps, he rolls on the bed from one end of the bed to the other. There are people who sleep like this. They are restless in their sleep. Or that when he sleeps, he says so many things during his sleep that he himself is not aware of. So when you are in the suhba of people, when you are in the companionship of people, whether because of journeying or because of learning, you sit down to learn with a scholar, and this person, this your companion, maybe when he sits down, he would usually doze during classes, sleeping off. Then he suddenly wakes up to continue to listen to the class. These are faults. All that when you are, at the time you are told to go for lunch or dinner, he eats too much in your consideration. That may be a fault from him. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma was reported to have said that when you want to begin to mention this fault about this your companion that you are together, whose faults you have seen, or that he talks too much, or that when he talks, he emits some saliva from his mouth. Many of the people, when they speak, they are not able to control the emergence of saliva from their mouth. That could be a personal defect. In some cases, you find people, the saliva gathers at the side of their mouths, at the side of their lips. That is a fault, perhaps. Sometimes you see them regularly cleaning it up. That is a fault, perhaps. That is something the man may not be able to control. That's perhaps a fault. And the likes of that. Ibn Abbas said, Raziallahu anhuma, إِذَا أَرَدْتَ أَن تَذْكُرَ عُيُوبَ صَاحِبِكَ. When you want to recall and mention the faults of your friend, فَذْكُرْ عُيُوبَ نَفْسِكَ. Remember your own. Don't forget your own. If his own was that he snores when he sleeps, may Allah pardon all of us. Some of the people hate people who snore. They hate that sound. Maybe that is his own. You have your own faults too. Maybe you talk too much. Many of the people in our own times today have forgotten to realize that talking too much is a fault. He talks and talks and talks and talks and talks and talks. That's also a fault. So if you are disturbed that your friend with whom you had a journey, your friend you are learning from the same sheikh, he dozes off in class. You talk too much in class. In fact, sometimes the teacher dislikes you to talk. Why? If the chance is ever given to you to give a talk, you talk endlessly. You get the class bored and tired. Instead of just asking a question, you begin to raise irrelevant issues. Yet your friends will tolerate you. So remember your own too. False guru for you, but are sick. Don't forget your own faults. So those who Al-Imam Ibn Hibban, rahimahullah, one of the scholars who wrote about manas in Islam in the very, very early times. It's from the scholars of the 4th century of Islam, Al-Imam Abu Hatim Ibn Hibban Al-Busti. He has a book called Rawdatul Uqala, The Guardian of the Intelligence. He is mentioning manners of noble people. So when he discussed this issue, he said, Rahimahullah, كُلَّمَا اتَّلَعَ عَلَىٰ عَيْبٍ لِنَفْسِهِ. Each time you yourself recall عَلَىٰ عَيْبٍ لِنَفْسِهِ. Each time an individual himself recalls or finds out his own faults, هَانَ عَلَيْهِ مَا يَرَىٰ مِنْ مِثْلِهِ مِنْ عَيْبِ أَخِيهِ كُلَّمَا اتَّلَعَ عَلَىٰ عَيْبٍ لِنَفْسِهِ هَانَ عَلَيْهِ مَا يَرَىٰ مِنْ مِثْلِهِ مِنْ عَيْبِ أَخِيهِ. If you yourself discover the faults you yourself have, هَانَ عَلَيْهِ مَا يَرَىٰ مِنْ مِثْلِهِ مِنْ عَيْبِ أَخِيهِ. What the like of the faults you have that you now find with your companion, it will be easy for you to overlook it. You not find it as something strange and something you have to condemn, by which you have to bring down that brother. For example, if you're a person who has noted about yourself that you yourself talk too much, if you find your friend talking too much, you will not then begin to bring him down, claiming that he talks too much, because you yourself, you have noticed about yourself that you talk too much. If yourself, you have a personality who like to dominate others, there are people like that. Wherever they are, they want to dominate the rest of the people. When you dominate the rest of the people, you have that yourself trait. If you know it regarding yourself, if you look inwards, recognize that, it's as if each time I'm with people, I want to dominate them. If you now find a friend with that, from the aspects of being sincere with yourself, you would not like to point it out as a personal defect with that person. Why? You yourself, you realize the fact that you have that dominating nature. You want to control the rest of the people. May Allah protect us. The lesson here is that the life of Abbas said, إِذَا أَرَدْتَ أَنْ تَذْكُرَ عُيُوبَ صَاحِبَكَ عُيُوبَ صَاحِبِكَ مَعْذِرَةً إِذَا أَرَدْتَ أَنْ تَذْكُرَ عُيُوبَ صَاحِبِكَ الْإِضَافَة. If you want to mention the faults of your brother, تَذْكُرْ عُيُوبَ نَفْسِكَ. Don't forget your own faults. Remember your own faults. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. The Prophet, don't forget. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to us that man tafarraga li awrati akhihi al-muslim tatabba'a Allahu awratahu. Man tafarraga li awrati akhihi, whoever pays attention li awrati akhihi, he pays attention to it, following it up and exposing it, When he does that, tafarraga li awrati akhih, he has completely made tafarrug. He's searching for it, he's sniffing, looking out for it. And when he gets it, he begins to point it out and exposing the person. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man tafarraga li awrati akhih, whoever goes to begin to sniff, to know and publicize the faults of his brother, who is a Muslim like him, Allah will make his own faults also become exposed. Here it says aura, because the aura is something that we don't like to become exposed. Your brother has that thing truly, but he doesn't like that it is exposed regarding him. But you go about sniffing, looking, spying until you determine it. You expose it regarding him. If you do this, Allah will also expose those things about you that you don't like that people are aware. Prophet also said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that whoever does this, Allah will disgrace him, even if it be inside his family home. So let us avoid searching for, to know, and then expose the faults of our brothers. If you want to start doing this, remember your own faults. Because when you remember your faults, it will help you to find it easy, the faults of the brothers. If you think that a brother talks, and then when he talks, he emits saliva, for example, from his mouth. Don't forget, when you talk, it is kata that emerges from your own nose, such that you always have to clean your nose. That's another fault as a human being. So don't forget your own, to get busy with the faults of others. One of the early Muslims said, la ahsibu ahadan, la yatafarrabu bi'aybi an-nas illa an ghaflatin wa falaha an-nafsihi. I would not consider anyone, la yatafarrahu li'aybi an-nas, all that, who would not just become busy with the faults of people, illa an ghaflatin wa falaha an-nafsihi, except that he is doing that because of a particular nonchalance that he has about his own faults. So the point here is that if you are not a nonchalant person about your faults, you will not be a person who goes about sniffing about people's faults. What makes people become sniffer dogs regarding the faults of others is that yagfulun and ruyubi anfusihim, they become nonchalant about their own faults. Otherwise, if a person is not nonchalant about his own faults, he knows that he has sufficient time to pay to himself rather than going about sniffing all about, finding out and exposing the faults of other people. And quite unfortunately, these are the jobs of the people in our own times. Many of the people in our own times now, they become busy with the faults of others. Whether that fault has to do with their looks, whether the fault has to do with their character, or the faults have to do with the matters of their deen. If you find your brother failing regarding a matter, go to him and give him nasiha. Give him good advice. Ad-deen, nasiha. This deen is about being, and nasiha is to love a person. And you want good for him. So you want to say to him something that is good, that will benefit him. Go to him and advise him in a nice manner. You can control this thing like this. Oh, my brother, you can make this thing like this. You can do this thing like this. You can say good words to him to make him become a corrected person, to make him become a balanced person. And it may not have been a fault. It might not have been a fault. You might just have thought, oh, this person behaves like this, such that he only did what he did in a particular circumstance, for a particular reason and purpose. So if you go to him, he will explain. The reason I did what I did here was this. He will explain. But if you look at him from afar, you think, oh, this person is like this. So if you go to him to discuss the matter with him and help him to correct himself, then he can explain to you, oh, what you saw me did that day, it was not like this, it was like this. I did that because of this. I said this because of this. I did not do this because I was afraid of this. Unfortunately, the sniffer took it for a character regarding that person, and he began to spread it as a character failure. For the sake of Allah, this deen is about al-nasiha, being sincere, loving your brother, and helping him to overcome his troubles, helping him to improve upon his goodness. That is what it is about. It is not about at-ta'ir, using what he had as a fault, as a reason to bring him down. This is not from our religion at all. And the Prophet had told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever goes on to begin to do that, يَصْبَحُهُ اللَّهُ, Allah will disgrace him. وَلَوْ فِي جَوْفِ رَحْلِهِ, even if it be right inside his family house, Allah will still bring disgrace to you if you're a person who likes to go about to sniff the faults of Muslims and expose their faults. I think this report from Ibn Abbas is weak, as we have pointed out, but its meaning is correct. Its meaning is correct. You find the meaning in other narrations from the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, or from others amongst the early Muslims, that if a person likes to mention and spread the faults, the shortcomings of his brother, one of the things that will help him stop that is that he should be busy too with his own faults. If he is busy pointing out, looking at faults for his own faults, he will know that as that person is faulty, he is also faulty. As that person has faults, he also has faults. And instead of pointing out and bringing down his brother, mentioning his faults to him, a better thing to do is to give that brother good nasiha. This is the essence of brotherhood as Muslims. I think we can go to the next asar, and that is asar of Ibn Abbas again. It occurs as asar number 329 in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. And in it, Al-Imam al-Bukhari says, also a report from Bishr ibn Muhammad, Abu Muhammad al-Sakhtiyani. So Al-Imam said, rahimahullah, حدثنا بشر بن محمد قال أخبرنا عبد الله قال حدثنا أبو مودود عن زيد مولى قيس الحذاء عن عكرمة عن ابن عباس في قوله عز وجل ولا تلمزوا أنفسكم قال لا يطعن بعضكم على بعض. الإمام البخاري سيد رحمه الله حدثنا بشر بن محمد. Bishr ibn Muhammad is Abu Muhammad al-Sakhtiyani. He said, rahimahullah, akhbarana Abdullah. We had mentioned that is Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, Abdul Abu Abdurrahman al-Hanzali. He said, haddathana Abu Mawdud. Abu Mawdud in this isnad is also majhul. He is majhulun la yuraf, as one of the scholars mentioned. So this is one of the reasons why this isnad is also weak. And Zaydin Mawla Qaisin al-Hadza. This narration is coming from Zayd. Zayd Mawla Qais. Zayd, the freed slave of Qais al-Hadza. Qais al-Hadza had a freed slave. His name was Zayd. So he's the one reporting from Ikrimah. Al-Imam Ikrim al-Barbari, he was from amongst the Berbers and from amongst the most knowledgeable people amongst the students of Abdullah ibn Abbas. Some of the people said he was most knowledgeable amongst the students of Abdullah ibn Abbas. Abdullah ibn Abbas had very, very eminent students like Mujahid ibn Jabr that we just mentioned, al-Makki. like Al Imam Ikrim Al Barwari, that is in this isnad, rahimahullah, like Sa'id ibn Jubayr, rahimahullah. He died at about age 46. Sa'id ibn Jubayr, rahimahullah. These are eminent students of Abdullah ibn Abbas. He also had, rahimahullah, Ata'u ibn Abi Rabah al Makki. Ata'u was also a great student of Abdullah ibn Abbas. These are imma. And Ibn Abbas was also an imam in this ummah. Rahimahumullah. So regarding this verse, وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ in Surah Al-Hujurat. لَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Allah told us in that verse in the Quran, لَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Al-lams is mentioned here, لَا تَلْمِزُوا. So Allah says, لَا تَلْمِزُوا. Al-lams is to bring down a person, mentioning his faults, bringing him down, putting him to shame by mentioning his faults, using the mouth, by speech, bring him down, speak evil to him. That's called lams. Allah says, وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Don't go about bringing yourself down with the words of the mouth. I think another word that I just found out that we use regarding this word is to bad mouth somebody. When we bad mouth ourselves, then it is not good. Allah says, لَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Don't bad mouth yourself. I actually heard that word from somebody. I did not know it before. So when I heard bad mouth, I said, mashallah, this is another word regarding bringing down the people and mentioning their faults to others. So, and if you go to look at what bad mouthing actually means, they say it's about dragging the people through the mud, dragging him in the mud. That's a thing of disgrace, or maligning him when you speak unfavorably about him. Yes, this is the meaning of وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Don't go about speaking unfavorably about your brothers. So regarding this verse in Surah Al-Hujurat, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, the meaning of that verse, لَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ is لَا يَطْعَنُ بَعْضُكُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ لَا يَطْعَنُ الطَّعَنُ لَا يَطْعَنُ بَعْضُكُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. A group of you should not make the ta'an upon the other group. The other group should not go about, each of you should not go about bringing down yourselves, spreading the faults of yourselves, and exposing the faults of yourselves to exposing party A or individual A. This is bound, should not go about exposing and spreading the faults of party B or individual B. Don't do that. Don't go about, you see, this woman, she's like this, or this man, women do it a lot too. This man is like this, like this, like this. And this happens a lot with a lot of, sorry to say, but this is just the example that has occurred to me. A lot of women who become divorced, they got into a marriage, they had issues in the marriage, they had faults in the marriage, they go about speaking evil about the man and about marriage itself. And this has done a very big, dealt a very big blow on the psychology of young sisters now. They hear very bad things from women who have themselves failed in marriage. They will not mention their own faults. They mention the faults of the man that they got married to, who might have even become known from beginning to be a bad person. But maybe for other considerations, they married the man. And when they married the man was negative to them. This negative experience is what they bring into the society. They begin to say that that is how men are. Unfortunately, they had only related with one man. They had only related with one man, but they generalize their experience as if that is how every man is. So they bring down the man. bring him down, speak evil of him. La talmizu anfusakum. The Ibn Abbas said the meaning of that is La yat'am ba'dukum ala ba'd. None of you should go about spreading evil, maligning, speaking unfavorably of his brothers. Yes, sometimes perhaps a woman desires to marry that same man. And she comes to you and says, excuse me, can you tell me something about, or she sends someone to you, can you tell me somebody something about this man that I want to marry? And then you speak, you know, out of fairness. I found him to be like this, like this, like this. He was not like this. He was not like this. This one is lawful, inshallah. But don't forget, it must be upon fairness. In fact, I remember a case of a sister who wanted to marry a brother who is guilty of violence physically against his previous wife that he had married. He used to beat the woman on the head. When the younger person who wanted to marry this person found out, he confronted the brother. The brother said, yes, I used to do that, but he had repented, he had left the matter, and so on and so forth. And she got married to the person. So I'm saying that in cases of marriage, the man wants to marry a woman. And then they wanted to find out about that woman. How was she in her previous marriage? If the first husband knew things that were negative, she said, she's a bad person, she's like this, she talks too much, she does not appreciate things, the husband, that's lawful. That's lawful within the limits of just finding out information, not with the intention of destroying the character of that woman. And of course, you should be fair or not enough to say things that she did, things that she was doing that were good. There are some women, they have negative traits. They can also have positive traits, like the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A man came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said his wife was an abuser. She can insult anything from him, insult anybody. The Prophet said alayhi salatu wa sallam, talika, divorce her. The woman said, Messenger of Allah, this same woman was good. It's very good at helping me to connect family relations. It helps me a lot when it has to do with connecting the ties of kingship. The Prophet said, then keep her and then teach her, educate her, help her overcome the fault of abusing the people, but be sure never to beat her like a slave. So for us too, if a woman had faults and you had divorced her, don't forget her good sides. Like this companion, radiallahu anhu, who spoke about his wife that she was very abusive. Yes, a woman can be abusive, but she will have positive areas too. Don't forget to mention that if you become separated and people come to ask you about the woman. The same thing applies to women. Your husband could be very tough. Your husband could be very violent, but don't forget, he may be a very responsible man, such that there will be hardly anything he will say you want, except that he provided it to you. This is also a very positive trait. So when you criticize and mention in the kind of situation that we describe, the negative things about a man or a woman, as the case may be, don't forget their good ones too. To be fair to you to describe a man or a woman with negative things when they also have positive things, but you hide them. All you want to do is to mention his negatives. That would be unfair of you. So for the sake of Allah, let us not go about bringing down ourselves. Allah says, La yat'anu ba'dukum ala ba'd. A group of you should not go about bringing down, mentioning the fault and spreading the faults of ourselves. If anything, you can help that person to overcome that character deficit. So Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu was reported to have said that statement in Surah Al-Hujurat, وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ, do not become people who throw insults at yourselves to bring down yourselves. La talmizu anfusakum. Ibn Abbas said what it means is that La yat'anu ba'dukum ala ba'd. no one of you should go about mentioning the faults of his brother just to bring him down, paint him black, make him look unfavorable to the rest of the people. This is bad. Allah protect each and every one of us. But like we said, this narration has two reporters. The first one, Abu Mawdud, is Majhul, also is an unknown reporter. Likewise, Zayd Mawla Qais Al-Hadza is also, he has some sort of jahala with him. And for that reason, this narration, the isnad is also declared to be weak, but its meaning is sound. The meaning is correct, but the chain of report is weak. How do we know that the meaning is correct? The meaning is correct because it is clearly known and supported by verses of the Quran and other ahadith from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that discourages al-lams and al-hams. Even in the Quran, Allah says, "Wailun likulli humazatil lumaza." What's the difference between humaza and al-lumaza? The person who is humaza, the person who is lumaza, is the person who does al-hams. The person who goes about al-hams is the humaza. The humaza is the one who goes about with al-hams. The one who goes about with al-lams is al-lumaza. So who is this? Humaza, the ulama say, these are people who bring down people using character, using physical, maybe looks. They can look at the person, shake their head, or behave in such a way to bring down that person and insult him. That is humaza, the one who directs insults to his brother using looks or a sort of bodily movement. But when it is with speech, that is lumaza, that is alams. Doing it with speech is what alams. Doing it with some sort of gesture is what is called what? Alham. This is how some of the scholars have differentiated between this person, al-humaza, and al-lumaza. So all of these go to make us understand that the narration 329, even though the isnad is weak, the meaning is correct. Let us quickly go to Hadith 330. Al-Imam al-Bukhari reports it from his Sheikh Musa. So he said, حدثنا موسى قال حدثنا وهيب قال أخبرنا داود عن عامر قال حدثني أبو جدير ابن الضحاك قال فينا نزلت في بني سلمة ولا تنابزوا بالألقاب قال قدم علينا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وليس منا رجل إلا له اسمان فجعل النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يقول يا فلان فيقولون يا رسول الله إنه يغضب منه. الإمام البخاري رحمه الله reported this narration from, and this is now a hadith مرفوع. This is now a hadith from the Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام reported by the companion Abu جبيرة ابن الضحاك رضي الله عنه الأنصاري. And الإمام البخاري reported from him through his Sheikh Musa ibn Ismail. So when al-Bukhari said حدثنا موسى, that is موسى ibn Ismail التبوذكي. We had read a number of reports where al-Bukhari reported from him موسى. That is موسى ibn Ismail التبوذكي. He is reporting from وهيب ibn Khalid al-Bahili. وهيب ibn Khalid al-Bahili is the Sheikh of Musa ibn Ismail in this report. And he is reporting Wuhayb from Dawood ibn Abi Hind. Dawood ibn Abi Hind is reporting from Al-Imam Amir ibn Sharahil al-Sha'bi. Al-Imam al-Sha'bi, Amir ibn Sharahil, he is the tabi'i of this hadith. And he reported narrations from a number of the companions, radiallahu anhum, Amir al-Sha'bi. He said, حدثني أبو جبير ابن الضحاك. Abu Jabira is the companion reporting this incidents that happened in the time of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, Fina nazalat, yani fina nahnu bani salama, nazalat wala tanabazu bil alqab. He said it was regarding us, we banu salama, Abu Jabira al-Duhaq said, this verse, وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ in Surah Al-Hujurat, إِنَّا نَزَلَتْ, it was sent down, or it came down, نَزَلَتْ, it came down, فِي بَنِي سَلَمَا, regarding بَنُو سَلَمَا, قَال, his companion went on to say, how then did that verse come? وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ. In that verse, Allah said, لَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ. أَلْنَبْزُ بِالْأَلْقَابِ is نِدَاءُ الْإِنسَانِ بِمَا يَقْرَهُ مِنَ الصِّفَاتِ. نِدَاءُ الْإِنسَانِ, when you call a person with a name that he dislikes, maybe someone is handicapped in his feet, and then you say, مَيْكُتُرُ, this is very common amongst my in-laws. If you have someone who is handicapped, they can say Mekuturu. If he is tall, they say Dogo, and that will be his name. That if his name is Ali, they say Ali Dogo. Ali Dogo. They do not do this by way of insulting the person, but it may also mean insult. We are coming back to it. If the person intends insult, then it is insult. If the person only intended to mention that physical attribute of that person, then it is not insult. It may be insult if insult is intended. It is not insult if merely mentioning something that that person has is the intention. Like there was a tabi'i, one of the students of Anas ibn Malik, is usually mentioned as Humayd ibn Tawil. Some of the scholars said that Humayd ibn Tawil, the student of Anas ibn Malik, was not a tall person. It was because he had a neighbor who was relatively shorter, who was also named Humayd. So if Humayd al-Tawil was in reference by way of differentiating between him and his neighbor who was shorter, he will now say Humayd al-Tawil. It was not intended to say that by way of insulting him that Humayd is a tawil, tall person. That is how the Northerners do. So if a person was blind, they can call him someone who is blind. If they meant to say his name is Ali, the blind person, we can say Ali was blind. By way of mentioning what he has, by which people would know him, not by way of insulting him and bringing him down. The one that the Sharia prohibits is calling him a name, giving him a name that he dislikes, or a name that has something on his body. Maybe someone has his pot bellied. He's a pot bellied. His name is Razak. He says Abdul Razak is pot bellied. Which each time he comes into the garden, he says, Mr. Pot bellied Abdul Razak. By way of insulting him, Allah says, وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ, don't give yourself negative nicknames. Don't throw negative nicknames at yourselves. This is النَّبْزُ بِالْلَقَبِ. So this verse, وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ, this companion Abu Jabira ibn al-Dahaq, he said it was sent down, the verse came down regarding Banu Salama. What happened? قدم علينا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. The messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام arrived in our area. وليس منا رجل إلا له إسمان. In our own community, there was not a man إلا له إسمان. There was not a man amongst us except that he had two names. In other reports, he said ثلاثة or three. They may have two nicknames, two laqabs. Ismun here means laqab. He had two names, two nicknames by which he was called, or three. So one person may be called, maybe his name is Humayd, just like we said. Maybe Humayd, that was He could have a nickname as Tawil. He may be Humaid the tailor. That's his job. He may be Humaid the man with many wives. That has to do with his family. So these are three nicknames. So he may be called Babaoniya Wukuko, the man with many wives. Or Babaomol Olomo Yoyo, the man with a lot of children. These are nicknames. If insult was intended, like we explained, then it is insulting and unlawful. Or if it is just to mention him so that he is known, then there is no sin regarding that. More so, if he does not like it too, it is also unlawful. We'll come back to that. So this companion, Abu Jabira, said, Qadima alayna Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam. Messenger of Allah arrived in our location. He visited us. He arrived, came to see us. وَلَيْسَ مِنَّا رَجُلٌ إِلَّا لَهُ إِسْمَانٌ أَوْ ثَلَاثَةٌ. There was not anyone amongst us when the Prophet came to us, except that he had two nicknames or three. فَجَعَلَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَقُولُ يَا فُلَانٌ. So one of them, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to call him. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to call one of them. And he knew those names, the nicknames by which that person was being called. So the Prophet said, Ya Fulan, he started calling that person by that nickname. And that nickname happened to be a nickname that the person did not like. Fayaqulun Ya Rasulallah. So the rest of the people began to say to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Messenger of Allah, innahu yaghdabu minhu. That man used to be annoyed when he was called by that name. Messenger of Allah, that man, if you call him by that name, he becomes annoyed. O Messenger of Allah, by way of saying that, that's a laqab, that's a nickname that the man did not like. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped that. And regarding that, that verse was revealed, وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ. You Muslims do not give yourselves nicknames that you dislike. A party dislikes a name. Don't call him by that name. He dislikes that. Some people can call someone sleeper. Maybe because the brother sleeps a lot. If he gets into the car, he starts sleeping. If he comes into classroom, he starts sleeping. If he comes into the room, he starts sleeping. He was served food. Instead of eating good food, he starts sleeping. I know people like this. And then the people begin to call them sleeping tablets, sleeping this, sleeping that. This is wrong. وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ. Don't go about casting names, denigrative names to yourselves. Don't do it. And Allah mentioned regarding that in the Quran, بِيْسَ الْإِسْمُ الْفُسُوقُ بَعْدَ الْإِيمَانِ. After a person is being honored, nobled, ennobled, after a person has been shown high rank by Allah because of Iman, why then do you go on to start referring to him with a name that blemishes him, that brings him down? So don't do it. This companion, Abu Jabira ibn al-Dahhak al-Ansari, he said this was reported, this verse came down when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was amongst us. The Prophet called one of us by one of the nicknames, and many of us had many nicknames, but it happened that the nickname with which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called that person amongst us was a nickname that he did not like, but the Prophet did not know alayhi salatu wasalam. So when he called him using that name, the people started to say to the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam that that was a name that that man did not like. Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar, rahimahullah, he mentions regarding this issue of nicknames. He said, إِنَّ اللَّقَبْ إِنْ كَانَ مِمَّا يُعْجِبُ الْمُلَقَّبَ. إِنَّ اللَّقَبْ, nicknames. إِنْ كَانَ مِمَّا يُعْجِبُ الْمُلَقَّبَ بِي الْمُلَقَّبَ. If it is something يُعْجِبُ الْمُلَقَّبْ that interests that person that you are calling that name, he likes it. He likes it a lot. He likes that name. Like a nickname, let's say, Al-Imam Al-Albani, rahimahullah, was a great scholar of hadith. If you have a person who makes good efforts upon knowledge, and you call him Albani, Albani, just by way of encouraging him, wala itra'a fihi, and that does not necessarily imply, you know, praising him, going beyond limits and praising him. It's just a name. He likes the name. And it is not about praising him. We are coming back to that too, inshallah. This is wala itra'a fihi. And it is not about praising him. There is no praise involved in it. Mimma, he said, Al-Laqab, mimma yadkhulu tahta nahi shari'i. وهو يعني ولا إطراء فيه مما يدخل تحت نهي الشرعي. And I still praise in it, the kind of praise that the Sharia has prohibited. وهو جائز أو مستحب. Such nicknames are jais, allowed, أو مستحب. They could even be encouraged. One of the scholars who had passed away, I asked him, he used to be called Al-Albani. I asked him, why were you called Al-Albani before he died, rahimahullah? He said they were in the school and many of the people took nicknames. Some took Michael Jackson, some took Majek Fashek, for example, some took Bob Marley and all that. He said, let me take one Muslim figure who is well known with Islam. So I chose Albani and I began to be called Albani. So this kind of a name, there is no praise in it in such a way that Islam does not like, no. And it is a name that he likes. Al-Imam Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar rahimahullah said, فَهُوَ جَائِزٌ, it is allowed, أَوْ مُسْتَحَبٌ, it may be also even be encouraged. Like a person has a PhD. He likes the name, he likes it because the PhD, a doctoral degree, to say somebody's doctor so-and-so, it's also a laqab. It is laqabun ilmiyun, is an intellectual nickname, so to speak. So if a person is called by that, he does not detest being called by that, and he likes it, then you can call him doctor so-and-so. That is laqab, or a medical doctor, or a lawyer, or an engineer. These are alqab, and it is lawful. Ibn Hajar said, إِنَّ اللَّقَبْ إِنْ كَانَ مِمَّا يُعْجِبُ الْمُلَقَبْ, if it is a name, that the one that you give that nickname, he likes it. وَلَا إِطْرَأَ فِيهِ مِمَّا يَدْخُلُ تَحْتَ نَهِي الشَّرْعِ, and there is nothing in it that the Sharia does not like. Maybe someone drinks alcohol and he likes to be called drinker. This kind of a praise is something that the Sharia hates, because it is premised upon sin and disobedience. So if it is, the praise is not something regarding which the Sharia hates, for who are jais, that kind of a nickname is permissible. Or mustahab, it may even be encouraged. وَإِنْ كَانَ مِمَّا لَا يُعْجِبُهُ, but if that nickname is something that that person does not like, he does not like it, don't call me that name. فَهُوَ حَرَامُ, that name is unlawful. أو مكروه, the least thing about it is that it is discouraged. Don't call a person by a nickname that he does not like. إلا إن تعين للتعريف به, إلا إن تعين للتعريف به, except if he becomes incumbent, he becomes necessary للتعريف به, by way of making him become known. حيث يشتهر إيش يشتهر به ولا يتميز عن غيره إلا بذكره, you know, because of the condition that he became very popular with that name, like Humayd ibn Tawil, he became popular with that name. ولا يتميز عن غيره إلا بذكره, and there is no way to mention him different, to separate him from others, except by mentioning that thing that he does not like. Then فَهُوَ جَائِزٌ, that it is allowed, not with the intention of bringing him down, but just by way of mentioning him so that people can know that that is the person that was being talked about. So alqab, nicknames, they are essentially either lawful or unlawful. They are lawful if they are for impending reasons, for necessary reasons. That man, There was a man, and I will end with this narration. He was my neighbor when I was in the north. That man, if he married a wife, the maximum number of time the woman will stay with him is 6 months. He will divorce her, he will marry another one. 6 months, he will divorce her, he will marry another one. 6 months, he will divorce her, he will marry another one. Fortunately, he had some money, so women like him. If he came, I would like to marry you, they rushed towards him. So some of the people began to refer to him as Tolaki. He had a name, but they began to refer to him as Tolaki. Some referred to him as Abul Banat. I personally used to call him Abul Banat. So when he saw me, I said, Abul Banat, why? All the children that he had are girls. That was from his first wife. He did not divorce that one. So if he married the second or third wife, they did not take a long time. He divorced them. So we used to refer to him. I used to refer to him as Abul Banat each time I saw him. He likes that name. In fact, if he sees me today, that's almost 10 years after, he'll start shouting, Abul Banat, so that I will call him Abul Banat, the father of girls. This is lack of, he likes, he had girls. The lack of Abul Banat. So he likes it, but there are brothers who refer to him as Talaki. So one day we were discussing, and Abul Banat was in the, so people said, which one is that? He said, Talaki. I'll say, okay, that neighbor who used to divorce women. So if a person was mentioned that, oh, this person divorces a lot, it's a negative trait if insult is intended. But if it was just to separate that, oh, this is the person I'm mentioning, not by way of bringing him down or insulting him, then it is lawful to use nicknames, even if the person who was nicknamed may not like that name. I hope that this narration, number 330, is also clear. They allowed to make us understand better than we have tried to explain. The next things we'll be talking about is praise. Praising people at Tamaduho. Praising people. We have discussed insulting them, cursing them, abusing them, maligning them. The next issues are Maja Afitama Duhi, what has been reported about mutually praising ourselves. Praise, you know, mentioning positive things about ourselves. Does that also have negative things? Does that also have aspects of it that are unlawful? Inshallah, we'll discuss that in the class in the coming week, inshallah. Abu Ami at the time had been taken, but if we have a few questions, please, inshallah, we can quickly go on to take one or two questions before we call it a day today, inshallah. Abu Ami.
Ahsan Allah ilaykum ya Shaykhana. Jazakallah khair.
Ameen wa iyaakum. Ameen.
Let me combine this to, it says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. May Allah preserve our Shaykh on good. How do we balance enjoining good and keeping quiet over people's shortcomings? Accepting and considering our own faults, does that mean we shouldn't call our brothers' attention to their faults?
This question might not have been asked if we pay good attention to this class. We had explained an-nasiha during this class today, and we were a bit extensive on it. We spent not less than 7 to 10 minutes explaining that all of what we are discussing today does not exclude meeting that brother to help him overcome his shortcomings, giving him nasiha, advising him, helping him overcome his failures, helping him overcome his negative character as a brother would do to his brother. Of course, doing that, when the discussion starts, you mention to him that we notice so and so and so about you. Can you adjust? Can you do this? Can you try to read this book? Can you try to? We mentioned all of these kinds of conditions during the class. So not mentioning the faults about your brother is not about not helping your brother correct his faults. And these are two things different. Not mentioning his faults, going about spreading the faults that he has. It is aura. He would not like that it is mentioned regarding him. And does mentioning it all about me correcting him? These are two different things completely. So what we are talking about today is that it is prohibited to go about mentioning his faults, either to him or to the rest of the people, with the intention of bringing him down, who were also extensive regarding this. If it is with the intention to bring him down, then don't mention that. Remember your own faults. If it is with the intention of correcting him, then correction has manners. Use the manner of correction. Some people will be saying it publicly, insulting him and all of this. And no one is, yeah, why are you insulting? No, I just wanted to correct him. If you want to correct him, go to him privately. Behave and speak and act like the way of correction. Correction is not just about correction. The manner of correction is also important. You must pay attention to the two. Don't say he should accept correction from you and you should not worry about the manners. The two of them are correct. The two of them must be correct. We must worry about the manner of correction. We must also worry about the correction itself. So the two of them are important. Some of the people will become haughty towards their brother. They say, no, don't mind my manner of correction. Just get correct. Okay, it means you don't want to correct yourself about the manner of correction, but you want him to accept correction from you. It's just about getting busy with other people's faults. If you know, you will know that that's your manner of correcting him. It's something you yourself needed to correct. Your manner of correction itself needs to be correct. Otherwise, you yourself need correction. One of the scholars that I just mentioned in this discourse, there's a book called Tanbihul Ghafilin. We read that book to learn a lot of Arabic grammar. It says, Sahibul Tanbih, the Hajatin ila Tanbih. The one who wrote, the author of Tanbihul Ghafilin himself requires to be given Tanbih. Tanbih is like a warning, caution. So Tanbihul Ghafilin is a book, the title of the book means calling the attention of the person who is nonchalant, a nonchalant person. You want to call his attention. So the Sheikh would say, the person who wrote that book, to call the attention of the person who is nonchalant, himself requires that his attention is called regarding a lot of things he had placed in that book. There are a lot of weak ahadith, fabricated narrations, and these different kinds of things in the book. So if you want to correct person, don't just pay attention to the correction. Your manner is also important. Work on the manner, work on the correction. That will go in line with that verse of the Quran. Allah did not only tell you to invite onto the path of Allah, he also told you the how of it. So don't do it anyhow, thinking that, yes, it should just be accepted from you. That is not the right thing to do. So calling the attention of our brother requires good thinking, good speech, good action to help him overcome his faults. But it's a completely different thing from what we have discussed today, which is that people mention the faults of people to them by way of bringing them down, either psychologically or giving them mental issues, making them look stupid, making them look downgraded amongst the people because they want to be looked upon as intelligent and brilliant. So they want to put down their brother. This is what we are discussing today. And it falls under Babul Ayyab, the chapter about dispraise for a person who regularly brings dispraise to people. I hope that it is clear now, Abu Amir.
Naam, ya Shaykh, and Ahsanallahu ilaykum.
Ameen.
This one here is, Assalamu alaikum, ya Allah bless you, Shaykh. Please, how can someone know he or she has bad character? Is it by what people are saying? Barakallahu fikum.
It can be from what people say. If you have genuine, sincere friends, and this is scarce, wallahi, genuine, sincere friend is scarce now. Genuine friend, someone you can call friend, genuine sadiq, sahib, is very scarce. But they exist too. You still have them, but they are scarce, hard to find. If you have a genuine, sincere friend, he will come to you. In fact, one of the students of Abu Huraira, amongst the Tabi'un, Rahimahullah, He said one of the ways of the early Muslims was that they would go to their friend. They would ask that friend of theirs, "Do you know my faults? Tell me my faults so that I can correct them." They used to ask their friends to tell them their faults that they have noticed. "Have you noticed a fault about me? Please tell me so that I can correct myself." So one way to know our faults is to ask our friends, genuine friends, not the one who is envious of you. The one who is envious of you, everything about you is a fault. Unless that thing is not good, it's a fault. Don't ask that kind of a person. Look for someone you will see to be genuine. He loves you for the sake of Allah. She loves you as a sister in the deen. Ask that person. That person will be fair to you. He will tell you your faults. Then you go back and look inwards. So these are the two ways. Either someone near you tells you, maybe a wife. A wife can know genuinely the faults of her husband. The husband can also genuinely recognize the faults of his wife, not because he wants to make trouble with her. She too can know the faults of the husband, not because she wants to make trouble with her, with him. So you can know your faults from somebody else. You can also only chance upon your own faults when you sit down to think about yourself. It's like I talk too much. Oh, it's like I sleep too much. Oh, it's like I eat too much. So an individual who reflects, looks inwards very well, bismillah, Allah can also guide them to recognize their faults, and they begin to work upon their faults. So those two ways are there: your friends, your relatives, close associates, genuine friends, genuine companions, sincere spouses, sincere husband, sincere wife. It can help you recognize your faults. And the second way that you yourself can recognize your faults, if you're a person who is used to looking inwards and thinking about past things, things you have done in the past, how you made mistakes, why did you make that mistakes? There are those mistakes. And inshallah, you'll be able to determine your faults, inshallah. I hope that this is clear, Abu Amir.
I'm Sheikhana. Jazakallahu khair.
I mean, can we stop here today?
Yeah. All right, sir.
Subhanakallah, alhamdulillah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.